Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Welcome back to the Ever Be podcast and welcome to Mexico. If you're watching this on video, you can see my background. We are not home anymore. We're back in my favorite place ever. And this time we're going to be here for a while. We're going to be in Mexico for a month because Trey is doing a Spanish immersion program. So it's kind of been a bucket list item for us ever since we met, like before we even started, well, when we were dating, but before we even got engaged or got married. My family is Colombian and is fluent in Spanish, and Trey really wants to be fluent in Spanish and just like have that part of our family culture be a part of his life. So he's been wanting to do an immersion program for a while, and it just hasn't worked out until now. And this is the perfect time for us. So we're here for a week vacationing with some friends. And then the last 3 weeks of the month is going to be full immersion. Trey's got school from 8 to 1 p.m. And he's like literally just going to be around Spanish 100% of the time. So I really hope that it helps him, that it really just sets a really solid foundation for conversational Spanish. And we think we'll probably do this again in the future, probably either in Colombia where my family's from, or maybe we'll go to Spain, or maybe we'll come back to Mexico and do it here. But yeah, so that's exciting. So yeah, so I'm recording outside on the balcony right now, and I really doubt my microwave is picking up the sound of the waves, but I can hear them, and it's just absolutely beautiful. It's amazing. Make sure that you get to watch the Reels recaps on Instagram so you can at least see a little glimpse of the beautiful ocean if you're not part of the Kingdom Club and are watching this full video. Well, today we are going to do just a little Bible study. So I've done this a couple times when I'm recording a podcast on vacation. I like to try and bring my Bible or devotional and just spend some quiet time in the morning when I can before the day gets started. So I'm going to do that with you guys today. Just going to dive into some Lexio. And I know last time I did this, or one of the times that I did this, I got a lot of feedback saying that it was really helpful for people who maybe just didn't really know how to approach scripture, how to pray with scripture. So I hope it's going to be helpful in that way. We're going to be doing Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. It's the tempting of Jesus in the desert. And I thought that was fitting for Lent, clearly, since we're all in Lent. I hope y'all are doing well in Lent. I feel like this one's been a little bit of a tough one for me. I've definitely been tempted multiple times. And so it's just reiterated that my fast was a good fast. I gave up sweets. And I've also just felt like what has already been going on for like a month, and it's only been like 12 days. So yeah, hang in there, you guys. Hang in there. Okay. Luke 4, let me just open up to that. Verses 1 through 13. Grab your Bibles or just listen along if you're driving or cleaning or something of the sort. So first, I like to start out in a little prayer. So let's pray together. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. We just ask you, Lord, to be present here with us today. We ask that you lend us a spirit of peace and wisdom and understanding of your word. We thank you for this moment of prayer and being able to dive into your word and just learn from you and be encouraged by you and be formed by your word. We pray that today you would open our hearts in a special way to hear you, to hear a specific message that you might have for us in our lives. And I just pray for all the listeners today that you would just bless their day and give them an increase of faith, give them the gift of faith and just a desire to meet you in prayer and desire to know you more deeply. We ask this all in your most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. The temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Just take a moment to allow that to sink in. And if you're reading along with a Bible, just glance over the words again and see if any words or phrases just kind of cling to you or resonate more deeply or just lingering in your heart. And you can feel free to pause the podcast here if you need more time to reflect. I'm going to read it a second time. And this second time, if you're able to, you can sit back and close your eyes and engage your imagination and enter just into an Ignatian experience, an Ignatian prayer of this passage. So close your eyes and imagine yourself in the scene. Maybe put yourself in Jesus's shoes, or maybe a bystander watching, or maybe it's you in the place of Jesus. Don't put yourself as Satan just because we don't want that, right? I feel like that's pretty obvious, but sometimes you just got to say it. So, all right, let's read it again. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Amen. So, what are we getting from this passage? I'm just going to scan through it again and just kind of share some things that stood out to me, just some reflections. So first thing that stands out to me is that the evil one tempts him in three different ways. He tempts him with desires of the flesh, those like basic needs, food, right? Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. And then the devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command the stone to become a loaf of bread." he tempted him with food, which is just such a basic, like, carnal need. It's such a basic human need of survival that I think it's so fleshy. It's just so easy to be tempted with food. And it just reminds me of our Lenten fasts. A lot of us are fasting from food in different ways. Like I said earlier, I'm fasting from sweets. We fast on Fridays from meat. Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, we fast from our usual meals of the day and have a reduced meal that we're consuming during the day. And so we feel this like physical hunger that reminds us just like of our humanity and our weakness. And I don't know about you guys, but the days that we are required to fast as a church are the days that I feel the hungriest. But the days that are just a regular day, I'll go until like 10, 11 a.m. without eating anything and I'll not even realize it. So non-toxic skincare and makeup and the clean beauty world is kind of blowing up right now. I feel like everyone's talking about it. But if we're being honest, I know it can feel super overwhelming because you want cleaner ingredients, but you don't know what brands you can trust. So you're like, where do I even start? Or maybe you've already tried a clean makeup brand before, and an hour later you looked in the mirror and thought, why did this already melt off my face? I have been there, okay? For a long time, I wanted non-toxic products that actually worked, that stayed on, that looked good, and didn't feel like I was compromising my health. And honestly, I lost all hope in clean beauty until I found Crunchy, I think like almost 3 years ago now. I absolutely love Crunchy for this reason. Their skincare and makeup are genuinely non-toxic. They are of the highest tier of non-toxic standards that you can find. No endocrine disruptors, no synthetic fragrances, no sketchy ingredients, nothing that will cause cancer, but they still perform beautifully. Their makeup lasts, their skincare feels luxurious, and it actually supports your skin and your hormone health instead of fighting against it, right? Like, why would we want to fight against our body with our beauty products? That's just not right. So I can truly share from experience that I have been using their skincare and makeup for years and haven't looked back once. I've used makeup in weddings, and I use their skincare literally every day, and my skin has literally never been better. If you want to try clean beauty this year and get started on your non-toxic journey, Crunchy makes it really easy to start. They have actually increased their new client discount to 15% off and free shipping, which is their best offer yet. And this applies to any new clients that have an order of over $50, which it's really easy to get there. So if you've been wanting to clean up your routine without feeling overwhelmed or disappointed, this is a great place to begin. You can shop Crunchy through the link in my show notes and get 15% off your first order plus free shipping when you use my link and the code advocate15. And so, yeah, it's just a reminder of our humanity. And it just reminds me here, the way the devil tempts Jesus in all these ways, that Jesus too was human. And the devil tried to tempt him as he would a human. So it reveals to us how the devil can tempt us and trick us. One, with earthly things, with the desires of the flesh, like food. Two, the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world and said to him, I will give you glory and authority over all these kingdoms. He tempted Jesus with power, which is just hilarious given that Jesus is the literal Son of God, God himself. And the devil knows this. Yet he also knows Jesus is fully human and he tries to tempt him there. And so this, I feel like, represents those kind of more intangible attachments that we tend to have as human beings, whether that's power, status, riches, control, fame. You know what I mean? Like those kind of more intangible temptations that we feel like lured towards sometimes. And then he says in return, right? If you worship me, I'll give you all of this. So the first one here, the first temptation was tempting of food. And that was a temptation to break his fast, right? To break his commitment to the Lord, to disrupt his faith. The second temptation here is a temptation of power and worship. So he's not only tempting him with wanting more power, as if the devil actually had authority to give him all of that. And then he says, if you worship me, then it'll all be yours. So now he adds a stipulation and he tries to get Jesus to fall by worshiping someone other than the Lord. And it might not be so obvious in our lives. Like, we might not have the devil appearing to us, I hope, saying, if you worship me, you'll have everything. But in different ways, the world does tempt us. And that's the evil one through the world, right? That the world says, if you do this, then you'll have it all. If you become this person, then you'll have happiness. If you do, you know, it just tempts us with different things and makes us believe that if we do certain things or act certain ways or value certain things or become certain people, then all happiness or power or status will be given to us. So that's an example of how we may encounter this in our life and choose to actually worship something other than God. Then lastly, the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, the angels will protect you. So here I feel like he is tempting Jesus with, I mean, like physical safety, like just me as a human being. I'm like, that would be scary if I'm like sitting on the top of the temple, no protection, and I could fall off at any moment. And the devil's saying like, fall down and the angels will catch you. Like, there's definitely an element of fear and coercion there that the devil is trying to instill. But he also, what's really happening, he's trying to get Jesus to test God and to shake his faith, right? But Jesus responds with so much confidence in the Lord. Gosh, it's just admirable. Like, I wish we could have that. He's in this compromising situation, and Jesus himself could save himself. We know this. He's miraculous. He could save himself. He could push the devil down. Like, but he doesn't. He has an opportunity here, and he takes this opportunity to make a statement and to show us what true faith and confidence in God, his heavenly Father, looks like. All he says to him is, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He doesn't even flinch at this threat because he knows his Father is already protecting him. He knows the evil one doesn't have power over the Lord. So he doesn't fall into that fear. The evil one tries to trick us with fear. So often, you guys, we just fall into these fears of like, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if this happens? What if this happens? And that, those spiraling thoughts are not of the Lord. And so I think that is another thing that really resonates with us as humans, this fear that grips us sometimes. We all have different fears. We all have certain fears, and it grips us and it pulls us away from the Lord, whether we realize it or not. And so in those moments of fear, just turn towards the Lord. Say, Jesus, I trust in you. I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. And just give it all to the Lord and don't give in to those spiraling thoughts of fear. And then when the devil finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. And so the devil was like, all right, I tried and I left. And another thing I want to note here is that one of these efforts the devil made was to counteract Jesus. So he even like fought with Jesus, like bartered with Jesus after tempting him and Jesus retaliating. He uses scripture. The devil even uses scripture to combat Christ's arguments. So yeah, in verse 9, the devil literally says, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. So the devil is trying to use scripture to tempt Christ even more and trying to use it as a reason for Jesus falling into his trap. He's saying, no, if you command it, the angels will come and protect you. You just have to command it. But Jesus responds again with scripture and says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. I think what this reveals about this is that even the devil knows the truth. Even the devil knows scripture. Even the devil knows the Lord. And so us just knowing scripture, just knowing the Lord isn't enough, right? And this is, again, I think where our Catholic and Protestant brothers and sisters differ a little bit. Because I know in the Protestant denomination, the belief is that you are just saved by your faith in Jesus, just by believing in Jesus. And that is absolutely a component. We have to believe that Jesus is true, is our Savior, and has opened the gates of heaven for us. But even Satan believes in Jesus. Even Satan knows the power of the Lord, and he knows who the Lord is. He knows he's God Almighty. And so us just having this faith and believing in the Lord is not enough. We need to believe in him, and we need to walk in his ways, and we need to live in accordance to how God wants us to live, how he created us to live. And we learn this through scripture and through tradition of the church, through the teachings he left us with the apostles that have been passed down for 2,000 years, and through the word that he left us in scripture. So let that be your reflection for the day, your encouragement. Know the Lord and follow him. We need both. I hope that this was helpful to you. I hope that it just gave you some nuggets to really chew on and reflect on during the rest of Lent. In what ways are we being tempted? In what ways do we relate to the conversation that we had today? And I'm also just going to leave you with some reflection questions that I wrote down here. So this was actually the Bible study that we did for our Kingdom Club. So our Patreon group meets once a month on Zoom, and we do a Bible study together, our Kingdom Club Bible study. And we actually did this Bible study together. And I have some questions that I pulled out for them to reflect on during our Bible study. So I'm just going to read them to you guys as well, in case you want further reflection, in case you want to journal with them later or pause and pray with them. Here you go. The Spirit led Jesus into the desert. Why do you think God sometimes leads us into hard or dry seasons? What does desert look like in your life right now? What feels busy, lonely, distracting, quiet, or uncomfortable? The first temptation is about comfort, bread. What do you tend to turn to when you're stressed or uncomfortable? Jesus responds to temptation with scripture. What does that tell us about how we can fight temptation? What is one thing your Lenten fast might be revealing about you so far? If this Lent is your desert, what do you hope God does in you before Easter? And then just to wrap it up, a little takeaway that I had written here in my notes from our Bible study was that the takeaway from this is that the desert is not punishment, but it's actually preparation. The Spirit led Jesus to the desert on purpose, for a purpose, and we are walking through Lent with purpose, for a purpose, or we should be, right? We're called to. And so hard or dry seasons are not a sign that God is distant, but it's actually often where he's doing his most intentional work, stripping us of our earthly attachments and bringing us closer into union with him. And this desert specifically reveals what we reach for when we're uncomfortable, what we rely on for comfort or validation or control. And Lent is doing that in us. This desert, this season of Lent is doing that in us. So this is our call to have deeper dependence with God. And if we really lean in and keep our fasts and our prayer, we will see a shift in our faith and our heart this Lent. And we will see a shift in our relationship with him. So I just pray that for all of you. Keep leaning in. And hopefully this was helpful. Love doing Bible study with you guys. If you guys like this kind of episode, please let me know in the Everbee podcast. It's at Everbee podcast on Instagram. And yeah, thanks for joining Bible study today.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media, and give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at Everbee Podcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.